This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program will bless you, encourage you, and perhaps even challenge you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. BDC Ministries is all one word, lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. And remember, this program can be re-listened to there. It can even be downloaded and passed on to others. You can also reach me at the address I've used over the years, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd be happy to take your comments as well as your prayer requests. Now, last time we were dealing with the matter of leprosy from the Old Testament, and we dealt with a man who was cleansed by the Lord in Matthew chapter 8. And I mentioned that he was given sort of an impossible command by the Lord. He was told to tell no one, but to go and show himself to the priest. And of course, it was the priest who could make the proclamation so that others would believe it, that he had been, in fact, cleansed. But he, knowing he had been cleansed, could not help but tell others. And in a sense, because he was telling others, it made it hard for the Lord to stay in the area because so many people wanted to come to the Lord and take advantage of his healing power. But anyway, what I liked about the story was the fact that the man just couldn't keep from telling others. And when we look at this matter of leprosy, as I said last time, it's really a picture of sin. And I don't find a leper ever turned away by the Lord. Now, as we saw last time, a leper was supposed to cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean," and live outside the city gates, at least the city gates of Jerusalem, but it appears to be the city gates of any walled village. So they should be in the open air. It appears to me that while this was not a situation where they asked those who were well to be isolated, they did use social isolation to try to control this disease. And I always have assumed that when it says that the leper was to cover his upper lip, he did that with his hand and then cried, "Unclean, unclean." But many scholars that I've been reading since I made the last program seem to think that this covering the upper lip really had to do with wearing a mask. And that's interesting in view of our pandemic today, and I'm making absolutely no political comment on this, but wearing masks may very well have been a means of controlling the spread of leprosy in the Old Testament, and it appears to be something that the Lord approved. But at the same time, social isolation of the person who was infected was, in fact, one way of controlling this disease. And it is true that it was the person who was infected that was supposed to stay away from those who were healthy. And so it's not, in some ways, it's not similar to what we are doing today, because we're trying, since we really don't know who carries the disease, this pandemic that we have today, we've tried to socially isolate everyone. And obviously, in some quarters, that just simply has been unworkable and people have resented it. But the Lord did use social isolation with leprosy, and he did use apparently a face covering. Now, I'm still not convinced that there was a face covering, because it says it covered his upper lip, but it doesn't say it covered his nose. So there's a question in my mind about the face covering, but there's no question in my mind about the fact that there was social isolation. But the reason I'm emphasizing this is that when we come to the New Testament, I never find a case where a leper who came to the Lord and shouldn't have, based on the Old Testament pronouncements, the Old Testament commands, I never find a case where a leper who came to the Lord was turned away. And so we need to recognize that if leprosy represents sin, it tells us that the Lord will accept any sinner who comes to him and wants to be cleansed from their sin. wants their sins forgiven. And that encourages me when the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved. He shows us that in a symbolic way with regard to leprosy. Now, I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6, where the Lord was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now, that one is kind of interesting to me. If he was a leper, does that mean that he had already been cleansed by the Lord and was just known as a leper? I know that there's a Lazarus in Luke 16 who's called a beggar, and there's many people who don't think that's the Lazarus that we read about in John chapter 11, because in John chapter 11, they say Lazarus was never a beggar, but he may have begged at one time, and that may be the tag that he was known by. I don't know. But I suspect that when it says Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, this leprosy that Simon had either been healed naturally, and that happened in some cases, and the priest pronounced the person clean. In that case, usually the leprosy had spread throughout the whole body, and it could spread no further. And so they could be pronounced clean. There's more of a chance that the Lord had cleansed this man from his leprosy. But a woman came to him having an alabaster flax, a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" And it's interesting that we don't see Simon pouring oil on the Lord, if he had been healed by the Lord. But we do see a woman who, there's differences of opinion as to which woman this was and whether this was the same as Mary of Bethany. But I suspect it was Mary of Bethany, and she loved the Lord enough to pour oil on him. And when the oil was poured on him, it was a very costly oil, and the people that were there, they seemed to think that the oil had been wasted. And it's often that way when it comes to our worship of the Lord. Things that we do, the giving we do, the time we spend on the things of the Lord, the time spent in remembering the Lord and the breaking of bread, there's many people who feel that the time spent on those things and the resources spent on those things is simply a waste. But remember, when one is doing it out of love for the Lord who loved them and gave himself for them, it's never a waste. Now, I want to talk to you about 10 men who were cleansed. Mentioned them last time, but didn't get a chance to deal with this in depth. And this is found in Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. It says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off," which is what they were supposed to do. They stood afar off. Notice, though, lepers spent time together. And that's often the case with sinners, isn't it? We like to spend time with other people who are also caught up in the same bondage that we've been caught up in. It may not be exactly the same bondage, but drinkers like to drink together. Gamblers like to gamble together. We know that smokers like to smoke together. And those of us who like to eat too much, we like to eat together. And so these 10 men were obviously all lepers, and they were spending time with each other, but they stood afar off when it came to their relationship with the Lord. And that was what the Old Testament demanded. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed immediately, but it was as they did what the Lord asked them to do that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And in glorifying God, he was obviously doing that by worshiping the Lord Jesus. And he fell down at his face at his feet. Now notice, he wasn't afar off now. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans, you know, if he was a Samaritan leper, he was double trouble because he was a sinner because of the disease that racked his body. And from the Jewish standpoint, he was a sinner because they did not accept the Samaritans as a clean people. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. The Jews looked at Samaritans as outcasts, and the Samaritans worshiped kind of like the Jews, but kind of in their own way. They couldn't go to Jerusalem to worship, so they worshiped in their own on their own mountain. And they had been taught by Jewish priests that were brought back into the land by, I think it was Assyria, in order to help the people of the land when the Assyrians had taken the population captive, to help the people of the land handle the wild animals and so forth that seemed to be decimating the population that was left. And so they thought that they needed to be taught. The Assyrians thought that the priests of Jehovah could teach the people of the land how to deal with the land in such a way that they would be spared. And so, but the Jews never accepted the Samaritans, and of course their worship was not strictly according to the Old Testament law. But this man went, so he was double trouble is what I was mentioning. He was a sinner because, as far as the Jews were concerned, because he was a Samaritan, an outcast, and he was a sinner because he had leprosy. But he glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give thanks to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so we can see that these 10 lepers were cleansed, but they were more concerned with making sure that they got the formalities of their cleansing taken care of with the priests than they were about their relationship with the Lord. And oftentimes it seems to me like that's the case today. We get cleansed, and I'm not going to deny that people get saved, but for some reason the way they get saved does not cause them to have the devotion to the Lord that they ought to have. And maybe they don't even get saved. Maybe, you know, these 10 lepers, 9 of them that didn't give thanks, they were cleansed. And so that's a picture of salvation. They were cleansed. But why would you not return to give thanks? Why would only the foreigner, the Samaritan, the outcast, return to give thanks? And so I ask myself, why is it today that we're more concerned with formality and doing and some of the things that we're occupied with religiously than we are with just thanking the Lord for saving us? I would ask you today, if you're a saved person, if you've had your sins forgiven, if you've been cleansed of your leprosy, have you today said, thank you, Lord, for dying for me? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Have you done that today? I hope you have, because that is what should happen. And then we would find out that the Lord would appreciate the thanksgiving that we give him. So I guess today what I'm saying is that lepers can be cleansed, and when they approach the Lord, they'll never be turned away. But when you're cleansed, when you realize that Christ died for you to forgive you, to save you from your sin, to save you from a lost eternity, then please return to give the Lord thanks. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy blessings. We thank thee for thy cleansing power. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.